Well, hello everyone. This is Jim Conley, the Executive Marketing Manager for Anatomy and Physiology here at McGraw-Hill Education. So excited to be here with you guys again, once again on the Succeed in A&P podcast show. And what I love about this show more than anything is the fact that you are all enjoying it and that we get to have world-class educators on this show sharing their thoughts with the world. And today is a special day because I have the one and the only Orlando Robinson with me today. How are you, Orlando?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
Oh, can't complain. You know, it's a nice warm day here in Iowa, which is a change for us.
Yeah. It's warming up down in South Carolina as well. I'm just not looking forward to the hot weather.
I was going to say, you're probably a lot warmer than we are up here.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't mind, tell the audience, how long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching for a total of, I want to say about 10 years. I started out teaching middle school for 4 years, and then I switched over into the technical college level for the two-year college, and I've been doing that since 2012.
And for the audience, where do you teach?
I teach at Central Carolina Technical College, and that's in Sumter, S-U-M-T-E-R, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. And specifically for anatomy and physiology, how long have you been teaching that course?
I've been teaching anatomy and physiology since 2012 when I first got here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And then for our audience, when you think about teaching, what's the thing that excites you the most about it?
What I love about teaching, and particularly anatomy and physiology, is I get to share knowledge with my students and inspire them to learn something new about everyday life that they didn't know before. They're not realizing that everything happens on the cell levels. Besides just learning the definition that cells are the basic unit of life, they get to kind of see in anatomy how they are really the basic unit of life and how it affects everything with our body. So I love to inspire my students, and that's why I love teaching. I love for them to realize that it's not as bad as they think it is.
Well, speaking of inspiration, so one of the things that I'm very proud of is I first met Orlando at last year's HAPS conference. So that's the Human Anatomy and Physiology Society conference. So he was a first timer, and he was at the first timers breakfast that we had at HAPS. And really, that's where our relationship started. And then I met him in the fall, and we had a conversation about mentorship. And I had asked Orlando to write an article for our course wide best practices page. And the reason why I did that is he was telling me a really cool story about how he had mentored a student, and we got talking back and forth about how that's like a second aspect of your job as a professor. So what I want to know is, when you think about being a mentor, Orlando, what's your favorite part about that for your students?
I love the fact that I'm able to, as a mentor, shape their lives and help them reach the academic goals that they sometimes think are too big and beyond what they can accomplish. And my goal is to encourage them at each time they walk into my classroom that, hey, you can do this. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I work really hard to get where I am, and you can do the same thing too. And so I love that I'm able to instill in them and encourage them that, hey, it is doable. You can do it. You may get overwhelmed sometimes. You may feel discouraged sometimes, but a new day comes and you're able to pick right back up and you can do it anyway.
And that's the one thing, Orlando, when you and I were talking in the fall together, I remember you talking about just the words, the simple words that you said to that young man, you can do it.
Yes.
And the story, you know, he's a first-time college student and wanted to go to a four-year school. And I could literally, I was kind of put myself in his shoes when you said, you can do it. And it was almost like you were just giving me a big hug.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's true. Because how many times do we hear, like, you can't do it, or you can't do this, you can't do that. We live in a society, unfortunately, where that's a common thing. But you turned it around for him.
Yeah, and a lot of times the students want people to believe in them. And me, if I'm that person to believe in you, then that's who I'm going to be. If you want me to cheer for you, that's what I'm going to do. If you need me to encourage you, that's what I'm going to do, because they just don't have that. And so I take it upon myself to make sure, even when I'm teaching the entire class, before they leave, they know, they always let us say, Mr. Robson's about to preach to us, or he's about to give us some type of encouraging words. But that's my goal, to tell them, I know today was overwhelming, but take a deep breath, woo-saw, and it's going to be okay.
I love that, woo-saw. Let it all kind of just melt a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what is your favorite tactic to help build a student's confidence?
I like to, while they're in lab, when they're studying models or we're doing some type of physiology lab, I like to get to know the students. So I'll walk around to each group and table to make sure they're doing the lab, of course, but I'll also take that time to learn names and ask them how they're doing. Are you understanding? How is the lab coming? How you feel about the course? Do you feel overwhelmed? So I take that time in lab to kind of walk around myself to actually get to know the students, try to show them that I am human, you know, because sometimes they see the professor or the instructor and they're like, you're not human, you're just a good, smart person that knows all this information. But I try to make sure that I show them that I am human. If I can share stories about what I went through while I was in college, I try to do that while they're in lab. So I try to reach them during lab time so that when I do get them in lecture, they feel more comfortable asking questions.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I will leave the author's name out of it to preserve, you know, the story for them, but I was in the classroom with one of my authors, and the author was lecturing to his students, and the hand was raised, and the professor had asked the student, you know, what was the question? The student asked a question that was very simple but difficult to answer, and I think it's still like one of those things where there isn't an answer, and I remember, you know, the author/professor said, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if I can explain, you know, why it's called that. And what the student said was, well, wait a minute, didn't you write the textbook? And I think there's just an assumption that, you know, because you're a textbook author or a professor in your case, that you should know everything. But the reality is you can't.
You can't. You really can't. And I've been in that position where they ask me certain questions. I'm like, well, that's a good question, and let's investigate that together. And, well, you go home and look at what you can find, and then I'm going to go in my office and I'll go home and look at what I can find, and we'll bring it together, see what kind of answer we can come up with. Because so I tell them all the time, I'm human just like you. Only difference is I've been where you've been going. I've been where you're exactly where you're going. So you just have to trust the process and know when I say you can do it, you really can do it. I'm an example of that.
Oh, yeah, I love those words, trust the process, right?
Yeah, yes.
Got to do the work.
Exactly.
Okay, so on that note, and we may have already answered it, but when you look at a student who's entering A&P for the first time, if you were able to kind of reach them before they even got into the course and you were able to give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
My favorite saying in class, and they know what I tell them before class and after class, is study, study, study. You have to study in order to get the results that you want. So the first day of class, while we're going over the syllabus, I'm giving them words of encouragement. I'm giving them little hints of things. These are the things you want to watch out for. Students that were successful, this is what they did. And I do it throughout the semester. So I try to, I don't want to say warn, but I want to give them a heads up of what they're getting themselves into. Because a lot of times they come into anatomy, they don't quite understand what it is. They just think they're going to study the muscles and the bones and learn how to do the big stuff, and they're not realizing everything is always on the cellular level. So I kind of make sure that I explain that so they know exactly what they're getting themselves into.
Love it. Okay, so I know in talking with you that you have likely had a mentor earlier in your life. Who were they and what did they do the best?
Okay. If I can think of one right now, and it's not because she's my mom, but my mother, Marion Robinson, has been a mentor. She's been teaching elementary education for over 40 years. And so she told me, you're a teacher, you're a natural born teacher, because she would always give me and my brother a teaching job over the summer so that we could be working and then that we can kind of see what she does to kind of have respect for her. And you always tell me, you're a teacher, you're good at it. And I'm like, no, Mom, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But she kept telling me, once I got, I used to do some other jobs, and she was like, you miss your calling, you miss your calling. And so one day I listened to her and actually got into teaching and realized, I kind of like this, I'm okay at this. And so I love it every day that when I get up for work, it's something that I love. It's not about the money, it's more about me coming to class to see if I can inspire my students. So my mother kind of helped me realize that teaching is where I need to be at.
Boy, and you know what? I would like to give a shout out to your mom, Marian Robinson. I am so glad that you pushed your son into teaching. He is a treasure for all of his students, and now we get to share him with the rest of the world through this podcast. So I know, Orlando, like my mom, she listens to all the shows too. I would kind of joke, at least I have somebody listening, right? My mom is. But thank you, Mom, Ms. Robinson, for doing all that you did for Orlando, and he's doing great too. So really appreciate that.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit, Orlando. So if you were to give another faculty member a tip about using digital for the first time, what would you tell them?
Because I am, I'm not like, I'll say, technology savvy like that myself, so I have to always tell myself, okay, Orlando, have an open mind. So someone that's new and coming in, just have an open mind. Sometimes you have to go to trainings. It's okay. And I would tell them, if you need training, go to it. Because when, you know, of course, with the college, they're always introducing new things with technology. So sometimes I find myself when I can schedule in a training, I go to that, and then I try to do it on my own by having an open mind. Because if you don't, if you're like, I can't do this, you never will. And you become frustrated. So you always have to have an open mind and just be willing to go get help when you need it. Like I was telling my students, nobody can read your mind. And I'll tell new faculty as well, when you come in, if you need help, just say, hey, I need help, and it's okay, because a lot of times, unless you voice it, we don't know.
Great advice. All right, now here's another good one for you. Let's say all of a sudden you get a notice from your chair that you have this brand new adjunct. His name is Jim Conley. He's going to be teaching at the college with you. You give me the advice as a first-time adjunct at your college. What would you tell me?
I will first welcome you and make sure that you feel okay and kind of give you the ropes of what's going on. The second thing, like I just said, I would definitely tell you, we've been there. We were all in your seat. If you need anything, just let us know. Don't sit here and suffer in silence. Because a lot of times when you get in a position, sometimes you can feel like, well, my coworker beside me is very smart because they have this, they went to this school, but you can't focus on that. We're here. We're each other's peers. So we're here to help each other. And so when you need help, just say, hey, you're not bothering me. Just say, hey, I need help. Because that's, I've done the same thing. When I first got in, this is a system that you have to learn. And sometimes it comes easy once you've been in it for a little while. So therefore, if you need something, just say, I need help. It's okay to ask for help.
Oh, and I love that, too, because what really resonated with me when you were talking about that is when you said, we've all been there before.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do whenever I get to meet with a bunch of full-time faculty is I ask them to raise their hands, who started out as an adjunct, and every hand will go up. And I think it's just always remembering where you came from. It's scary when you're an adjunct. I mean, you might be a chiropractor, a dentist, maybe you might have a lot of, or an MD, you might have the background on the science, but teaching it's totally different.
It is. And the hardest thing that I can remember is trying to project out of my mouth what was in my head, what I had learned. Am I saying this right? Did I mess them up when I said that? So you're always trying to make sure, you're trying to present yourself perfect. And another thing that I can give advice to that, you're not always going to be perfect, and it's okay. It really is. It's okay. But you do your best, and you prepare yourself.
Well, speaking of not being perfect, one of the things I love doing is whenever I have a guest on the show, obviously you have a lot of insight and successful. You've been doing this for 10-plus years. Well, now let's talk about, did you ever have anything in your teaching career that you just thought was the best thing ever, and then you went to go execute it, you did that, and all these teaching awards were going to come, and then it just fell flat or it didn't work. What was it, if you don't mind sharing with the audience, and then why did it not work, or what did you do to change it?
Okay, what I can think of right now is a lot of times we put together these nice labs, and we have them planned to the team, like, oh, this is going to work, we're going to do this, next we're going to do that, and then you get all your students in there, and it just goes downhill from there, and it just doesn't work. And so I find myself saying, it's okay, it's fine, we're gonna figure it out. You know, we're going to figure it out, don't worry, it's okay. And so sometimes it can be frustrated, but I've learned that you have to remain calm, because if you become upset, that causes them to even take you even further.
So
sometimes you put things together, and like you even go in lecture, and you'll have this lecture, and sometimes I'll draw on the board, and I'm like, whoa, that didn't look like how I thought it should look in my head. But, you know, it's okay. And so we regroup and you always try to do better next time.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that, I always think of the term cadence.
Yeah.
The cadence, we talk a lot about that in the management circles, about, you know, when you have a manager, somebody who's the leader of a group, how they react often ripples through to the rest of the team, you know, maybe the people that report up to them. And I think that's definitely true on the teaching side, too. How you react really kind of dictates how they'll respond to.
Exactly. Because if you're panicked, of course, your students are going to panic.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Therefore, you have to remain calm and like, okay. And then you just go to your office and be like, whoa, that did not go how I expected it to go.
All right, well, let's flip back to the best teaching strategy that you've ever used, if you had to list one.
The best teaching strategy that I can think of is I like saying keep it simple, because sometimes we try to complicate things. It does make it more complicated than what it is, particularly teaching anatomy. Teaching anatomy is almost like teaching another language. So sometimes and when I try to complicate it, I don't water it down, but you definitely want to make sure that you are keeping it simple and build upon the foundation. So I always try to lay a foundation with the students and then build upon that, instead of throwing all these terms out and doing this and trying to do too much at one time.
And why do you think teaching anatomy and physiology is an honor?
I believe it's an honor because here at Central Carolina Technical College, we are training nurses. These are our pre-nursing students, and so they're going to get their ADN in nursing, and I feel like I contribute to helping them, especially when I see them or they email me back and say, hey, everything you taught me in 2010 when I thought you was being hard on me, it made a difference. I really understand it now, because I always tell my students, right now, you're like standing right in front of a picture. And I said, as you go through your program, you're going to continue to step back, step back, step back, and then you'll see the full picture from there. And so a lot of times they email me like, hey, Mr. Ross, I see the picture. It went off like, hey, I know what that crazy man was talking about in the narrative now, because now it makes sense. And so I love that they become inspired, and they're able to inspire others and help others in healthcare.
Love it. Now, what's your vision when you think about the future of teaching anatomy and physiology? What's your vision for that?
My vision is to one day keep doing what I'm doing and do it better and improve. I don't ever want to get to a point where I think I know everything, or I've been doing it for this amount of years, so therefore my way is the best way. I'm always looking at new ways to make sure that I'm improving so that I can continue to inspire my students and they can be inspired to go out in the world and achieve and do what they have to do.
Awesome. All right, well, I have one last question for you, Orlando, and it's a good one. Is there a book or maybe a podcast if you want to suggest something like that, but is there a book that you're reading right now that you want to share with the audience?
I know this sounds so bad. Right now, I'm reading a biology book.
That's good.
Because I also teach an area, I also teach biology classes, so I'm going through some biology books to kind of get ready for my comparative anatomy class, and so that's what I'm reading. But if I can tell or inspire anybody, I try to read books that are encouraging and inspiring that works on me as a person, because if I'm doing good as a person, then I can project that onto other people. So when I do read personal books, it's something that inspires me so I can still inspire my students.
Love that. I am of the same mind there, Orlando, and I know we're kind of getting hot on time today, so I just want to thank you not only for everything that you're doing there down in South Carolina for your students and your colleagues, but then also just everything else that you have cooking. I know the article has gone over very well on mentoring. Just appreciate you doing that, and then also, too, for you spending time today on this episode of Succeed in A&P. It's been an absolute blast, and I hope that you'll want to do it again.
I definitely will. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And listeners, if you have show ideas for the next episode, feel free to email those in to james.connely@mheducation.com. Also, if you're able to or willing, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you consume your podcasts. Hope that you do that. Those help us get better and also help other people discover this episode of Succeed in A&P. This is Jim Kindly signing off for you guys today. I hope you have a great one, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Take care.
You bet.